38. Letters sent to UK authorities in 2008 concerning 9/11 and other evidence. Letters sent to UK police in November 2008 regarding the fake war on terror, new information about 9/11, and common purpose. Dear Chief Constable, it is now almost 3 years since I completed a nationwide police force mailing about important issues relating to the perceived threat of terrorism. Both of my mailings to you have been motivated by the knowledge that the official stories of events on September 11, 2001 and the events of July 7, 2005 are bogus in ways only a few people seem willing to examine in any detail. Since 2006, I've been involved in ongoing research and campaigning, and I've even had ancillary involvement in U.S.-based legal action relating to the 9/11 cover-up. During the same period, we have seen an increasing number of laws relating to terrorism either created or amended and hardened. This has essentially resulted in the removal of habeas corpus and a general erosion of certain civil liberties. The consequences for our freedom are already far greater than any small illusory group of Muslim fundamentalists could ever have created. Thankfully, there are an increasing number of people who are beginning to wonder just what is going on in the world, and they are beginning to look at the bigger picture. Another part of this picture seems to have been exposed during a recent incident in Liverpool, and it is primarily this that has triggered my wish to write to all UK police chief constables again. This incident took place on Church Street in Liverpool on the 11th of October 2008. I have already written to the police chief constable of Merseyside Police to express my dismay at learning of events of the 11th of October on Church Street in Liverpool city center. The main instigating officer involved was P.C. Wilson. He and others seized leaflets and property of a peaceful group of people. Mr. Howe was kind enough to respond and advise me that he had asked another officer to look into the incident and write back to me, but that officer has not yet responded to me. I was most surprised that so many officers were suddenly able to show a complete disregard for the law and seize property and suppress freedom of expression. There seemed to be some problems in the training of those officers, in that they did not know that they were breaking the law. How is this possible? Was it Merseyside Police's policy to just break the law for something to do? What I mean is, we can clearly see from the video record, Google it, that it was a completely peaceful situation. Basically, people walking around, just talking, discussing the state of the world, and officers casually walk in and seize property from legal and pre-authorized street stalls. One has to wonder if these officers have attended common-purpose training courses. Yes, some of us know all about this. See below. It does seem like this sort of policing policy could have been dictated by common-purpose graduates rather than according to laws already voted on by elected representatives. Now, you must at some point realize that all this nonsense about terrorism, which is likely what the Merseyside police action was somehow, some way, vaguely, probably, potentially related to, is soon going to be fully exposed. For example, we have a video clip of Sir Ian Blair saying, quote, "If London could survive the Blitz, it can survive four miserable bombers like this. I'm not saying there are four bombers. Four miserable events like this," unquote. And there is much other incriminating evidence showing that the 7/7 bombings were not the work of mythical so-called homegrown Muslim fundamentalists. The train that the suicide bombers were supposed to have caught was canceled. Bruce Late described how he saw no one with a rucksack, nor did he see a bag where the bomb was supposed to have been. Peter Power of Visor Consultants stated that he was running a simulation of bombs going off at the exact same stations where the actual events took place, at the exact same time. I could go on. At some point, your policies for matters relating to supposed terrorism will need to be scrapped as they are based on a scam. It is often said that terrorists attack because they hate our freedoms. Judging by what happened on October 11th, some members of Merseyside Police seem to dislike certain freedoms, even if they don't hate them. Would you be concerned about this if a similar incident or situation arose in your own force area? I have included a couple of leaflets here for you. I suggest you study and research the topics that they cover. You will then realize that you've been had, and someone is lying to you, and to the rest of us. Look at what is really going on in the world, if you want a future, that is. As a suggestion, contact me for more leaflets and booklets to use on a new training course for your officers, or just distribute them to all the stations. It will be far cheaper and far more important and valuable than any common purpose training. Of that, I can assure you. Feel free to copy the leaflets, which I have posted on the web for easy download at checktheevidence.com. For the moment, I want to discuss the link to common purpose. Cressida Dick, the senior officer described as the decision maker on the day that Jean-Charles de Menezes was killed, is a common purpose graduate. According to Wikipedia, quote, Common Purpose UK is an influential educational charity, delivering a range of leadership training programs to decision-makers drawn from all sectors of society, unquote. Common Purpose's own website makes it less clear whether it is a charity, a trust, or a company. One somewhat troubling statement found on their About page is, quote, Common Purpose programs produce people who lead beyond their authority and can produce change beyond their direct circle of control, unquote. Does this sound like they are encouraging people to trample over the authority of others? It sounds to me like something akin to megalomania. Indeed, Brian Gerrish has documented a number of examples of common purpose graduates behaving in a way which could be described as being like megalomania. A response to an inquiry about Cumbria County Council's use of common purpose training contained this, quote, The information is specific to the courses held by common purpose. It details the content and structure of the training provided by Common Purpose. If this information were disclosed to competitors, this could allow others to emulate their program style, undermining its ability to provide unique leadership training. It would therefore be likely to prejudice the commercial interests of Common Purpose. Unquote. This was in response to an FOI request about how Common Purpose training was being used. Why does a charity have commercial interest? Are charities now in competition with one another? Surely CP's aims are purely altruistic if they are a charity. I trust that your force will consider carefully the evidence presented by Brian Gerrish and others as to what the real agenda behind Common Purpose is, and thereby review its policy regarding the use of their training programs. In relation to 9/11, since January 2006, I've learned a great deal about what happened. I would contend that this knowledge is important to our very survival, impinging as it does on political, technological, and even environmental matters. In early 2006, I had already calculated the time of freefall for an object dropped from the top of the WTC towers and found that the towers came down in almost that same time, about 9 or 10 seconds. Back in 2006, I had assumed that explosives were responsible for the destruction of the towers. By the end of 2006, however, I'd begun to see that explosives could not explain the complete powderization of most of the steel, which gave the towers their immense strength, a total of over 250 columns. In 2007, I got to know former professor of mechanical engineering Dr. Judy Wood, and became involved in her attempts to sue NIST's contractors for fraud. NIST, or the National Institute for Standards in Technology, was tasked with producing thousands of pages of reports to explain the so-called collapse of the WTC towers. They used external contractors. It turns out that at least three of these contractors are involved in the development of directed energy weapons technology. And those companies are SAIC, ARA, and Boeing. Funnily enough, Dr. Wood, in preparing her case against the contractors, had already come to the conclusion that a directed energy weapon of some unknown type had been used to destroy most of the WTC complex. All of her legal documents are posted online for anyone to review. Later, Dr. Wood's research uncovered the presence of Hurricane Erin, a Category 5 storm, which was closest to New York City at about 8 a.m. on 9/11. This is not a coincidence. All of this information was sent to the BBC and all UK media outlets. Without exception, they have remained silent on the legal case and on Hurricane Erin. In January, I advised Dr. Wood not to agree to an interview with BBC producer Mike Rudin, who asked her to have a, quote-unquote, quick chat in relation to the documentary he produced called The Third Tower, which aired on the BBC earlier this year and was repeated more recently. I asked Mike Rudin to make sure Radio 2 news bulletins included news that the NIST contractors had been sued for fraud by Dr. Wood. He said that he was not able to do this. When I said to him that the BBC was promoting a fake war on terror and asked him if he could produce any evidence that it was genuine, he was either unwilling or unable to do so. He did not even argue that the war on terror was genuine. Adam Curtis' important documentary series, The Power of Nightmares, provides plenty of evidence that any threat from the mythical Al-Qaeda so-called sleeper cells is either grossly exaggerated or entirely fabricated. As a summary, I will say that there are quite a few people who have become aware of the information laid out here before you. This number is not decreasing. At some point, you will need to deal with the very fundamental issues set out here, and you will either do it by serving the people above you or by serving the people below you. Therefore, in the final analysis, I hope you will ask yourself, who are you and your officers serving? I hope you can answer that question comfortably enough to sleep at night. Yours most sincerely, Andrew Johnson. Letters sent to over 70 UK military bases, offices, etc. Regarding the fake war on terror, obsolete threat of nuclear weapons, and common purpose. Dear Sir or Madam, I am writing to present information to you for urgent review. My mailing to you has been motivated by the knowledge that the official stories of events on September 11, 2001, and the events of July 7, 2005, are bogus, in ways only a few people seem willing to examine in any detail. I would contend that this knowledge is important to our very survival, impinging as it does on political, technological, and even environmental matters. Since 2004, I have been involved in ongoing research and campaigning with regard to what happened on 9/11. I have even had ancillary involvement in U.S.-based legal action relating to the 9/11 cover-up. During the same period, 2004 to present, in the U.K., we have seen an increasing number of laws relating to terrorism, either created or amended, and hardened. This has essentially resulted in the removal of habeas corpus and a general erosion of certain civil liberties. The consequences for our freedom are already far greater than any small illusory group of Muslim fundamentalists could ever have created. Thankfully, there are an increasing number of people who are beginning to wonder just what is going on in the world, and they are beginning to look at the bigger picture. Perhaps you even fall into that category yourself, in certain respects. My background is in software engineering, though I did a joint degree in physics and computer science, and I currently work as an assessor and part-time tutor for the Open University. You would likely not believe me if I said to you that in studying the 9/11 evidence and cover-up, Dr. Judy Wood, a U.S.-based former professor of mechanical engineering, and others have come to the conclusion that some type of directed energy weapon was used to destroy the WTC complex. The evidence is so conclusive that much of it has been submitted in legal challenges to the National Institute of Standards and Technology, or NIST, in the USA. By late 2004, I had already calculated the time of freefall for an object dropped from the top of the WTC towers and found that the towers came down in almost the same time, about 9 or 10 seconds. It still took me some time to see what really happened to the towers. They underwent an almost complete powderization of most of the steel of which they were made, a total of 283 columns, each approximately 1,360 feet in length. In 2007, I got to know Dr. Judy Wood and became involved in her attempts to sue NIST's contractors for fraud. In January of 2008, we visited New York together, where I filmed ongoing hosing down operations at the site of the WTC. NIST, the National Institute for Standards and Technology, was tasked with producing thousands of pages of reports to explain the, quote-unquote, collapse of the WTC towers. They used external contractors. It turns out that at least three of these contractors are involved in the development of directed energy weapons technology. Those companies are SAIC, ARA, and Boeing. Funnily enough, Dr. Wood, in preparing her case against the contractors, had already come to the conclusion that a directed energy weapon of some unknown type had been used to destroy most of the WTC complex. All the evidence she had compiled and copies of the legal documents she has submitted are posted online for anyone to review. See drjudywood.com. Later, Dr. Wood's research uncovered the presence of Hurricane Erin, a Category 5 storm which was closest to New York City at about 8 a.m. on 9/11/2001. This is not a coincidence. All of this information was sent to the BBC and all UK media outlets. Without exception, they have remained silent on the legal case and on the issue of Hurricane Erin. In January 2008, I advised Dr. Wood not to agree to an interview with BBC producer Mike Rudin, who asked her to have a quick chat in relation to the documentary he had produced called The Third Tower, which aired on the BBC earlier this year and was repeated more recently. I asked Mike Rudin to make sure Radio 2 news bulletins included the news that NIST contractors had been sued for fraud by Dr. Wood and Dr. Morgan Reynolds. He said he was not able to do this. When I said to him that the BBC was promoting a fake war on terror and asked him if he could produce any evidence that it was genuine, he was either unwilling or unable to do so. He did not even argue that the war on terror was genuine. Adam Curtis' important BAFTA award-winning documentary series, The Power of Nightmares, provides plenty of evidence that any threat from the mythical Al-Qaeda sleeper cells is either grossly exaggerated or entirely fabricated. The correspondence with Rudin is posted on my website and therefore may help you to understand why you have not heard about this matter. And this page has received one or two interesting visitors. Dr. Wood and I have concluded that the weapon used to dustify the Twin Towers and destroy WTC-7 uses some type of field effect technology similar to that discovered by Canadian inventor and researcher John Hutchison. For over 20 years, Hutchison has been performing experiments that have jellified and in some case even dustified metal samples, and he was even visited in 1983 by Colonel John Alexander and a team from Los Alamos National Labs, or LANL, where much of the work on the atomic bomb was done. Hutchison's work has also been discussed in the Pentagon. It is our contention that the correspondence of evidence between Hutchison effects and those seen at the WTC leads strongly to a conclusion that shows that black technology was used on 9/11, and this evidence and conclusion has been submitted in Dr. Wood's QI-TAM case filings. These documents include an affidavit from John Hutchison. This technology makes that of nuclear weapons essentially obsolete, as it turned most of the two 110-story buildings and a vast proportion of their contents to powder in about 20 seconds, with little or no production of heat. This also indicates a different type of physics at work, one which allows us to exploit free energy in a similar way to that discovered and demonstrated by Nikola Tesla in the early 20th century, and essentially suppressed ever since. The straight-line path and timing of Hurricane Erin both strongly indicate the use of weather control technology on 9/11, too. Clearly, this moves us into new territory, which many or even most people would dismiss as fantasy. This is, therefore, the main reason that you should not take my statements at face value. You must research and investigate for yourself and review the available evidence. This is precisely what I have done, and it is why I have written this letter to you and many others. The truth of 9/11 and 7/7, and the fact that this truth has been successfully covered up for 7 years, forms part of a larger picture. Another part of this picture seems to have been exposed during a recent incident in Liverpool, and it is primarily this that has renewed my wish to write to all UK police chiefs and as many senior military people as I can find addresses for. A disturbing incident took place on Church Street in Liverpool on the 11th of October, 2008. I have already written to the police chief constable of Merseyside Police to express my dismay at learning of events where, as we can clearly see from the video record, Google it, that it was a completely peaceful situation. Basically, people walking around, just talking, discussing the state of the world, and officers casually walk in and seize property from legal and pre-authorized street stalls. This is yet another instance of peaceful protest being either disrupted or banned by inappropriate policing. This type of policing seems to be part of a worrying trend both in the UK and the USA. A few days ago in the USA, a 54-year-old woman was tasered for being in the wrong seat at a Madison football game. Google for the video of this incident. A few days ago, a man was tasered by California police in Mendocino for getting agitated when the police did little or nothing to save his drowning father. Google for the video. What is happening to our society? It is my sincere hope that at some point, tremendously difficult though it can be, you will realize that all this nonsense about terrorism, which is likely what much of the police action mentioned above was somehow, some way, vaguely, probably, potentially related to, is soon going to be fully exposed. For example, we have a video clip of Sir Ian Blair saying, quote, "If London could survive the Blitz, it can survive four miserable bombers like this." I'm not saying there are four bombers, four miserable events like this, unquote. And there is much other incriminating evidence that shows the 7/7 bombings were not the work of mythical, homegrown Muslim fundamentalists. For example, the train that the suicide bombers were supposed to have caught was canceled. Bruce Late described how he saw no one with a rucksack, nor did he see a bag where the bomb was supposed to have been. Peter Power of Visor Consultants stated that he was running a simulation of bombs going off at the exact same stations where the actual events took place, at the exact same time. I could go on. For the moment, I want to discuss the link to common purpose. Cressida Dick, the senior officer described as the decision-maker on the day that Jean-Charles de Menezes was killed, is a common purpose graduate. It is my understanding that a number of other senior police figures and some military people have undergone common purpose training. According to Wikipedia, quote, "Common Purpose UK is an influential educational charity delivering a range of leadership training programs to decision makers drawn from all sectors of society," unquote. Common Purpose's own website makes it less clear whether it is a charity, a trust, or a company. One somewhat troubling statement found on their About page is, quote, "Common Purpose programs produce people who lead beyond their authority and can produce change beyond their direct circle of control," unquote. Does this sound like they're encouraging people to trample over the authority of others? It sounds to me like something akin to megalomania. Indeed, Brian Gerrish has documented a number of examples of common purpose graduates behaving in a way which could be described as being like megalomania. A response to an inquiry about Cumbria County Council's use of common purpose training contained this. Quote, "The information is specific to the courses held by Common Purpose. It details the content and structure of the training provided by Common Purpose. If this information were disclosed to competitors, this could allow others to emulate their program style, undermining its ability to provide unique leadership training. It would, therefore, be likely to prejudice the commercial interests of Common Purpose." Unquote. This was in response to an FOI request about how Common Purpose training was being used. Why does a charity have commercial interest? Are charities now in competition with one another? Surely CP's aims are purely altruistic if they are a charity. I trust that you will consider carefully the evidence presented by Brian Gerrish and others as to what the real agenda behind Common Purpose is, and some military leaders are also Common Purpose graduates. I have enclosed a couple of leaflets, and I encourage you to study and research the topics that they cover, as well as Common Purpose. See cpexposed.com. You may then realize, as I have, that you've been had and someone is lying to you, and to the rest of us. Look at what is really going on in the world, if you want a future, that is. Feel free to copy the leaflets which I have posted on the web for easy download at checktheevidence.com. I also encourage you to try and identify the aircraft that are regularly leaving persistent trails or chemtrails in our skies. Officials tell me they are regular aircraft, but why do they leave grids, and why is the CAA unable to give me any flight information for these flights? There are many questions I have in relation to this issue, too. As a summary, I will say that there are quite a few people who have become aware of the information laid out here before you. This number is not decreasing. At some point, you will need to deal with the very fundamental issues set out here, and you will either do it by serving the people above you or by serving the people below you. Therefore, in the final analysis, I hope you will ask yourself, whom are you and your colleagues serving? I hope you can answer that question comfortably enough to sleep at night. Yours most sincerely, Andrew Johnson.